We truly are thankful for your presence today. And we're thankful that we do have a number of visitors and hope that at every opportunity you will come back and be with us again. I want us to also remember that Sandra Martin's sister, Shirley Jones, is in a Duncanville hospital, very serious condition. And so we need to continue to be praying for her and for Sandra and for that family. There was an elderly man who was asked about his favorite Bible verse. And he said, well, it's the one that says, and it came to pass. When asked why, he answered, well, when trouble comes, I just say, and it came to pass. There's an old gospel hymn that says, to take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. But the trouble with most of us is that we take our burdens to the Lord, we lay them before Him, and then we pick them up again and put those same burdens on our shoulders. If we do that, we're not very quick learners, are we? If we do that, our faith is weak. Have you ever hoped for something that you thought was virtually impossible? I see on television, used to get them in the mail all the time, not so much anymore, but Publishers Clearing House sweepstakes. You know, you're going to win. You're going to win all this money. Or you see the HGTV dream home that everyone would love to have, but very few people receive. Or many other pie in the sky wishes. If you haven't longed for those, you're probably either not telling the truth or you have very low expectations. This is not the hope or the wish or the dream that I'm talking about this morning. When you read the word hope in the New Testament, it is not a pie in the sky dream. The Greek word is elpis, and it means a confident expectation based on the promises of God. It's not what we do, it's not how good we are or how bad we are, but it's rather we're putting our hope, our expectation in God's promises. It's a tragedy if you place your hope in that which is hopeless. Can you imagine putting your faith in a voiceless, heartless, hopeless idol, a graven image? And yet there are many religious people who have misguided hopes. And there are many religious people who bow down and worship idols. There were numerous Old Testament prophecies concerning the physical emergence of the Christ, the Messiah, for whom the Jewish people longed. And there when he was in their very midst, they couldn't even recognize him. In John chapter 5, beginning in verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" How tragic it is that the Jewish people as a whole are still awaiting the coming of the Messiah today. Following Jesus' crucifixion, two of his disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, a town that was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And somehow, some way, Jesus was incognito when he began walking with them. It's hard to understand how they didn't know that this was Jesus. They didn't know his voice. They didn't know his physical appearance, but it was hidden from them. And they were talking about all of the wonderful things that Jesus had done in the past. But they despaired because he was dead. And they said, "We were hoping," notice again, past tense, "we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel," Luke chapter 24, verse 21. They had lost their hope. But Jesus, as he was walking with them, they still did not recognize him. He resurrected that hope when he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Starting from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he explained himself to those two people on the road to Emmaus. I would have loved to have heard that sermon. I would have loved to have heard how he explained this applied to him and this applied to him. And so their hope was built up again. You have often read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Both religious groups were staunch opponents of Jesus. But both Jesus and Paul were experts in vying the two groups against each other. You recall that the Pharisees believed in angels, and they also believed in the resurrection. And the way I've always remembered this is Sadducees were sad because they did not. Can you imagine professing your belief in God while believing that there is no resurrection from the dead? Yes, I believe in God, but I believe that when I die, it's all over. There's no reward, there's no punishment, and we hear many people today with that same philosophy. I'm going to live life for today because what does it matter? When I die, I'm gone. That's it. But Paul rebuked some of the Corinthian Christians for not believing in the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he wrote, "If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." If there is no resurrection, if there is no heaven, if there is no eternal life with God, then what does it matter how we live on this earth? And that's the philosophy of so many people in our world today. Your hope Your confident expectation is in God's promises. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter. Waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And there are many people that would say, well, you're crazy. Why would you believe in something you can't see or you can't touch, you can't feel? And yet we believe that God is. We believe that he created this world. We believe that one day he will destroy it. We believe that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And in him is our hope. Despite that which you hear emphatically from the religious leaders of our day, you can fall from God's grace. The text in the New Testament is very clear about that. This is only one of many passages. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. We went to Frisco for Thanksgiving to be with our family. And most of our family had colds. And guess who came back with a cold? That passage is very clear. There are many other passages that are extremely clear as well. We need to understand that you cannot be saved by your own goodness. You cannot be saved by works of the law. There's no way that you can be good enough to be saved by the things you do. But we do those things because God has told us to do those things. You can be saved only by grace through faith. And then do the works of God that he has prepared for you to do to demonstrate to the world that you believe. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Paul wrote that he gave thanks and always prayed to God for the Colossian Christians. And why? Well, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. That's our hope. That's the hope that we cannot see. That's where we are placing our heavenly treasures. Because we believe there is an afterlife. Because we believe that we're going to live with God forever. And later in that same letter, he said, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I said in Bible class this morning, I said, it's amazing how many times that two-letter word is in the text. If you do all these things, if you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And we learn from this passage and many others that Paul was truly a praying man. He also prayed continually for the Christians in Thessalonica, as we were talking about in our Bible class. In chapter 1 of that book, verses 2 through 4, he wrote, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind," notice, "your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you." When we do what God has told us to do, then we are among the chosen. We are his family. We are his children. We are brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. He also wrote in the book of Titus, in Titus 1, verses 1 through 3, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word." The wonderful thing about this hope is that our hope will become sight when Jesus returns. Again, in the book of Thessalonians, in chapter 4, verse 13, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." When we die as Christians, that hope becomes sight. We know that all that we have placed our faith in is coming true, because God promised it, and God does not lie to us. Again, in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 2, beginning of verse 11, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Not that all men will accept it, but it's available to all people. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." What a blessed privilege that we have in Jesus Christ to live for him, even as he lived for us and died for us. There was a woman who lived in England. She had two daughters, and they were grown daughters. But one had died. And she was on a ship bound for America for a visit with her other daughter. And in a storm at sea, it was feared that the ship might sink. And all the passengers, except for this woman, were in a state of panic. And when asked why she was so calm, she said, "Well, I have two daughters, one in America and one in heaven. I'm on my way to see my daughter. If the ship survives, I will see the one in America. If not, I will see the one in heaven. Either way, I will see my daughter." Isn't that a wonderful hope that we have? I asked Ron to lead that song before the sermon, and I'd like to show the words of that again. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, and blood support me in the whelming flood. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to have this hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ? There are some who may not have that hope who are here today. And if you don't have that hope in Christ, you can have that hope. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to make that confession? Are you willing to turn away from your sins, and are you willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? That's where our hope is, in Jesus. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.